This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our Bulletin of Church News, before we bring you our feature of Culture and Society, today we shall close with a segment dedicated to young people. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Francis on Thursday received in audience the prefect of the Dicastery for the Oriental Churches, Cardinal Claudio Guggerotti, the prefect of the Dicastery for the Laity, Family and Life, Cardinal Kevin Joseph Farrell, and the regent of the Apostolic Penitentiary, Bishop Christoph Joseph Nikiel. He also met in a private audience the founder of the St. Egidio community, Professor Andrea Riccardi, after which he also met with Mr. Sheiji Abdu Karim Paz and entourage. The funeral mass for the late Cardinal Angelo Amato took place on Thursday at the altar of the chair in the Vatican's St. Peter's Basilica. The Dean of the College of Cardinals, Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re, celebrated the mass with a good number of the clergy, bishops and cardinals concelebrating. The Holy Father, Pope Francis, presided over the final commendation rite and farewell. Cardinal Angelo Amato was the former prefect of the Vatican's Congregation for the Causes of Saints, who oversaw numerous and significant canonizations. He died on the last day of last year, on December 31st. He was 86. In a telegram announcing his death, Pope Francis on Wednesday praised what he called the edifying witness of this spiritual son of St. John Bosco, who for many years spent himself with human refinement and generosity for the gospel and the church. The Pope's message was sent to Father Stefano Macrolia, the vicar of the Rector Major of the Salesians. St. Pope John Paul II appointed him Secretary of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith in 2002, and Pope Benedict XVI later named him Prefect of the Congregation for the Causes of Saints in 2008. Pope Benedict created him a cardinal in 2010. Faithful to his motto, Sufficit Gratia Mea, my grace is sufficient, even in recent times marked by suffering, he abandoned himself to the goodness of the Heavenly Father, Pope Francis noted in his message. The Pope's prayer intention for the month of January is for migrants, refugees, and those affected by war, praying that their right to an education which is necessary to build a better world will always be respected. The Vatican published this prayer intention on Thursday, in which Pope Francis hopes that the Christian community may always be prepared to defend the rights of those who are vulnerable, opening wide its doors to welcome them, lest anyone ever be robbed of the hope of a better future. In the video produced by the Worldwide Prayer Network, in collaboration with the Jesuit Refugee Service for the month of January, the message of Pope Francis illustrates this by speaking of an authentic education catastrophe that has left some 250 million boys and girls without schooling. The Pope affirms the plight of these young people for education in the video, that all children and youth have the right to go to school regardless of their immigration status. The Catholic Church's 2025 Jubilee Year is an opportunity for the people of God in Angola to come together and share the gift of faith, according to Bishop Mauricio Agostino Camuto of the country's Catholic Diocese of Kashito. In his homily during the launch of the Jubilee Year in his Episcopal See, Bishop Camuto underscored the need for forgiveness and reconciliation. The Jubilee is an opportunity to renew the bonds of faith and strengthen our commitment to the teachings of Jesus Christ, he said during the December 29th celebration at St. Anne Cathedral of Kashito Diocese. Pope Francis officially inaugurated the Holy Year on the eve of Christmas Day 2024, And Bishop Kamuto said that during the 2025 Jubilee year, the people of God are called to a time of reflection and spiritual renewal. The ordinary of Kashito also noted that Angola has marked 5 decades of independence and said that this Jubilee time is an opportunity to renew the bonds of faith, adding that we are therefore called to reflect on our families, our faith, and our community life. Ethiopia's defense minister traveled to Somalia on Thursday, according to officials in Mogadishu. This is the first bilateral visit since relations nosedived a year ago over an Ethiopian plan to build a naval base in a breakaway Somali region. Somalia's State Minister for Foreign Affairs, Ali Omar, confirmed Ethiopian Defense Minister Aisha Mohamed Musa's visit in a message to Reuters, but did not say what she was there to discuss. Ethiopia has up to 10,000 troops in Somalia to fight Islamist militants from Al-Shabaab, but Mogadishu has threatened to expel them if Addis Ababa did not renounce an agreement it reached a year ago with the breakaway Somaliland region. After months of escalating rhetoric and inconclusive international mediation efforts, Somalia and Ethiopia agreed on December 11th after talks in Turkey to work together to resolve the dispute and begin technical negotiations by the end of February. Tunisia's Coast Guard has recovered the bodies of 27 African migrants after 2 boats they were attempting to cross the Mediterranean in sank off the coast, the National Guard said on Thursday. The boats sank in waters off the city of Sfax, a departure point often used by African migrants. Last month, Tunisia's Coast Guard recovered the bodies of about 30 other migrants in 2 separate incidents after their boat sank while they were sailing towards Europe. The National Guard said on Thursday that the Coast Guard rescued 7 people who were on the same 2 boats that sank off Sfax. Tunisia is grappling with an unprecedented migration crisis and has replaced Libya as the major departure point for both Tunisians and people from elsewhere in Africa seeking a better life in Europe. Nigeria will establish a national credit guarantee company in May to lend to businesses and individuals, President Bola Tinubu said in a speech on Wednesday. Tinubu, who took office in May 2023, campaigned on economic reforms, including expanding credit access to boost economic growth. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio. This is Culture and Society, and you are welcome to the program. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Today in this program, we continue with our introspection into the Pentecost project of the Vatican's Dicastery for Communication that aims at building a dynamic global network of the voices of sisters within the framework of the Vatican media systems. As we have already heard, the Pentecost project is meant to happen while at the same time demonstrating how sisters are contributing to the work of the Church in a number of ways. There are so many facets to this project, including a 3-month immersion or internship at the Vatican Media Systems in Rome. During these 3 months of intensive media exposure, the religious sisters and all others that attend the course are helped to navigate the digital highways and effectively communicate the good news on social media. In the last 2 programs, I have been speaking with Beza Witasefa, one of the lay Catholics from Ethiopia, who has benefited from the 3 months internship of the Pentecost Project, and she has helped us understand exactly what the 3 months internship at the Vatican Media Systems entail. Today in this program, Bezawit tells us more about how she found the course and how she thinks it would be useful in her life. How do you feel yourself having done that, having written such a story?
I feel it's a blessing. I think it is a blessing for me even to write about it and even to write on such church big media. And it has inspired me that I need to do more. And there are a lot of stories to be told in Africa, so it has inspired me and it has given me more
inspiration
to write more about our church.
Now, I'd like to drive you back to Ethiopia. Would you like to talk about the realities on the ground? Since we have just come from there, we hear so many stories about what is taking place there.
Ethiopia have been in challenge, for a number of years now, especially after the conflict that has happened in the north. Many have lost their lives, many have lost their loved ones, and it has been a real challenge even for the church, even for all of us to pass through that. And currently, there is still an ongoing instability here and there in the country. And, of course, in one of our dioceses, in the Bahr Dar Dasteh Diocese, there is still ongoing conflict, which the church and everyone is really concerned about. The bishops, the church is still there with the community, giving all the humanitarian support that the church could give. And
how is the church involved in mitigating the realities on the ground where war has just ended, a civil war has just ended?
Okay.
What are the pastoral concerns of the church in such a situation in Ethiopia?
So on the northern Tigray region, which the war has ended, the church has been always there and it's now there. And there are currently reconciliation process that are ongoing between the church and, of course, with the communities there, because there has been a lot of anger and a lot of issues that has happened during and after the war. So the church is involving in having a number of dialogues, having a number of...
The church is facilitating
that, and so that the youth can be back to normal life and they can, you know, empower themselves to continue their, you know, life, their mission. So in addition to that, the church is doing the humanitarian support that's needed. Even there in the Tigray region, there is still a challenge, due to the infrastructure's destruction everywhere. The humanitarian, the provision of humanitarian aid still is a challenge. So the church is actively involving that. In addition to that, the pastoral activities are ongoing now. The church in the Tigray, in the Adigrat diocese, it's Adigrat diocese, so they are actively working with other dioceses in pastoral and the development activities so that they can reinitiate the activities that were there. So Adigrat diocese is one of the strong dioceses we have in the Ethiopian church. So they are reinitiating this pastoral and development activities. And they are actively working together with the Bishops' Conference.
Is the situation coming to normal?
It is believed to come, to coming to normal, but we, as I mentioned, another issue is going on the other side.
Now, apart from Ethiopia having its own problems, it is in a region which is known as the Horn of Africa, where there are other problems that involve also Ethiopia, Somalia, South Sudan. Now, there is a big problem of migration of the youth because of the realities there, because of what is happening. Would you be able to talk about what the church is doing in order to administer to the plight of young people in the Horn of Africa, especially in regards to migration? How is the church involved?
So migration is one of the major issue that we can mention in the Horn of Africa, even in Ethiopia and the whole Horn of Africa. The church have been involved in different activities that could help the youth not to leave their country, but in through different programs and apprenticeship programs, trainings, and showing the reality that they could face by going through this hard ways of migrating to other countries. We work as the AMESIA, you know, the AMESIA region, as an AMESIA region, the church have been actively working on migration issues, and the church have been insisting the government to each of the governments to give priority to the youth and the work opportunity that the government have to use to the young generation.
Now, I'd like to take you to the Jubilee 2025. The other issue is about the just-ended synod on synodality. What impact would that have on Ethiopia?
So the synod has been a wonderful journey for the church. Being here while the synod was the final, the conclusion, during the final synod, I was here. So here we had representatives from Ethiopia, the cardinal, the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Ethiopia, the president, Cardinal Brahane Jesus, and we have the Jimma Bonga Bishop, Abuna Marcos, and we also had a representative from Ethiopia who was representing the company missionaries. So his new bishop elect, Father Tesfaye, he's now appointed by Pope for bishop.
He was here for the meeting.
Yes, he attended.
So he was named bishop from here.
Yes,
when he was here.
He is here, and he's the world, the global company missionaries director. He lives here technically. He is now a new bishop, new elect bishop for the Catholic Church and for the Archdiocese of Addis Ababa. He's an auxiliary bishop with Cardinal Brahane Jesus. So the church is more known and her influence in the social programs. So with this synod, the faithful and the community believes that the church will increase her pastoral programs, her pastoral activities within the local church, not only her schools and health programs will be strong. So with the synod, we believe the Catholic Church in Ethiopia would increase her pastoral integrating the pastoral programs with the social development programs. And in addition to that, as part of the African Church, the Ethiopia hosted the Continental Synod in Addis Ababa. While hosting that, there has been a number of issues that the Church and Africa have raised and believed to find solutions through this journey, and the synod have really been has its own way of addressing to those issues, and it was wonderful experience. And the church in Ethiopia will definitely adopt that journey and leave the synod.
Now, in case there is anything that we haven't covered in our chat, if you have anything that you want to add, what you want to say about your stay here, it could be about your life in Ethiopia, your work, everything that you'd want to talk, you may want to talk about.
One thing that I will take with me is the assignment that the local churches need to speak more about their reality to the universal church, to the Vatican, because if we do not, at the local level, if we don't communicate the reality out there, the Vatican will have other sources to, and it will still be written, but it will be from other sources who write about us. But those who are on the ground, who are living there, should write more about the reality in the ground. So I will take that an assignment for me, and I believe that the Vatican will continue to talk about the reality in Ethiopia.
That was Beza Witasefa, the communications coordinator at the Ethiopian Conference of Catholic Bishops. She was speaking to me there at the end of her 3 months internship at Vatican Media Systems under the Pentecost Project run by the Vatican's Dicastery for Communication in conjunction with the Hilton Foundation. And that is all we have time for today in this edition of Culture and Society. Until next week at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
And now, News for young people.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. A special memorial mass was celebrated early on Tuesday morning in St. Peter's Basilica to mark the second anniversary of the passing of Benedict XVI. The mass was presided over by Cardinal Kurt Kirk, the prefect of the Dicastery for Promoting Christian Unity. In his homily, the Swiss Cardinal offered a reflection on Benedict's life and legacy, particularly his theological insights and lifelong dedication to the Word of God. In this edition, we bring you his exhortation to the Church in Africa in the pastoral care of young people contained in the 2011 final document from the Second African Synod, Africhemunus, Latin for the Commitment of Africa.
Emmanuel.
During his nearly 8-year pontificate, Benedict had many encounters with young people following in the footsteps of his predecessor, John Paul II, who initiated the World Youth Days. His first international trip as Pope was to his home country, Germany, for the 20th World Youth Day, held in Cologne in August 2005. During the events attended by over 1 million youth, Benedict, with his gentleness and joy, delivered to them profound words about the Eucharist and the love of Christ. He appealed to the young people to open wide their hearts to God. Recalling his predecessor, Benedict said that great Pope understood the challenges faced by young people today, and as a sign of his trust in them, he did not hesitate to spur them on to be courageous heralds of the gospel and intrepid or fearless builders of the civilization of truth, love, and peace. Today, he continued, it is my turn to take up this extraordinary spiritual legacy bequeathed to us by Pope John Paul II. He loved you, you realized that, and you returned his love with all your youthful enthusiasm. Now, all of us together have to put his teaching into practice. It is this commitment which has brought us here to Cologne as pilgrims in the footsteps of the Magi, said the late Pope Emeritus, who will later preside at the 2008 World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia, and the 2011 World Youth Day in Madrid, Spain. Meanwhile, in his 2011 final document from the Second African Synod, Africhemunus, Benedict re-emphasized the vital role young people can play in the development of the church and society in Africa. Young people, he said, deserve particular consideration, while children attract the special attention of the church because they are a gift of God, source of hope and renewal. Continuing, the late Pope urged that every effort be made to involve young people directly in the life of society and of the church so that they do not fall victim to feelings of frustration and rejection in the face of their inability to shape their own future, especially in those situations where they are vulnerable due to lack of education, unemployment, political exploitation, and various kinds of addiction. He dedicated numbers 60 to 64 of Africhemunus entirely to the youth, an age group that make up over half of Africa's population. Benedict writes that youthfulness is a gift and treasure from God. Therefore, young people should be loved, esteemed, and respected. They should be helped to know Christ and to love him profoundly because the genuine values they long for find their fullness in him. If Christ is presented to young people as he really is, he continued, they experience him as an answer that is convincing, and they can accept his message even when it is demanding and brings suffering with it, or even if it bears the mark of the cross. He said, genuine and difficult questions about the meaning of life and the direction it is going to take often arise in young people. Therefore, he continued, they should be helped to know God because it is only him that can give the true answer to those questions. However, he cautioned that concern for young people calls for courage and clarity in the message that the church proclaims, and it calls for good examples from those guiding the youth. Young people need witnesses and teachers who can work with them, teaching them to love the gospel and to share it, especially with their peers, and thus to become authentic and credible messengers, the late Pope said. Noting that young people are often tempted and sometimes enticed by ideologies, sects, money, drug, casual sex, violence, among others, he urged them to be vigilant, saying that those who propose these things to them want to destroy their future. In order to grow in discernment or good judgment, along with the strength and the freedom needed to resist these pressures, the late Pope encouraged the young people of Africa to place Jesus Christ at the center of their lives through prayer, by studying sacred scripture, frequent recourse to the sacraments, formation in the church's social teaching, and to participate actively in church groups and movements. Re-echoing the call by the bishops of the continent during the Second African Synod sessions in Rome in 2009, Benedict XVI urged young people to cultivate a yearning for fraternity, justice and peace, saying the future is in the hands of those who find powerful reasons to live and to hope.
Warum verließen Könige ihre Paläste? Warum verfolgten Könige einen wandernden Stern?
And that's all for this edition of News for Young People. Until the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawelli.
Als man sie fragte, sagten sie, Venimus Sanctorare Deo Emmanuel, Gott ist mit uns, Venimus Sanctorare Deo Emmanuel, Venimus Sanctorare Deo Emmanuel.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.